Hey guys, welcome to the show, season two of the Rebecca Weiss podcast. I'm really excited today. This guest is one of my favorites, and I want to give some background for those of you who might not know anything about him. He's super funny and down to earth, but one of the things I love about him is he's lived an amazing life for the Lord. And when I get around him and I hear his stories, I get inspired. And I want you guys to hear these stories too, because it's going to stir up your faith. It's going to make you more hungry for the Lord. And the other thing I love is the way I describe this guest to people is I say, it's just something different. And it's just like I say, he has one foot on earth and kind of one foot in heaven. It's just a cool thing to see. And so welcome to the show, evangelist and minister, Jesse Duplantis.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. And hello, everybody.
So, Pastor Jesse.
Just call me Jesse.
Just call you Jesse.
That's what Jesus called me. I've never called him Reverend Christ. You know, he calls me Jesus. I call him Jesus. He called me Jesse. That's
See,
good enough.
This is what I love, is the down to earth. And for the people who are listening, give some background. You know, I can hear a little bit of that New Orleans in you.
Yes.
But give us, you know, give us your story.
Well, I was not a church person. Mm-hmm. I was not religious in any way, shape, or form. I was christened and confirmed a Catholic boy. I'm from the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. I say this all the time. If you're from New Orleans, you got to be Catholic at least once in your life, mm-hmm. because most people are. We don't even have counties. We have parishes. That's the only state in the United States that has parishes. And I went to church, but I never got anything out of it. Yeah. You know, I remember before I got saved, Kathy would tell my wife, would say, won't you come to church? I said, I've been there. I didn't want to do that. Yeah. What I needed was to see if I'd come to Jesus. Then when I came to church, I would understand it. So I was not raised what I call religiously in any way, shape, or form. And I only know two prayers then. That was the Hail Mary prayer and the Our Father prayer, which is what you use to, you know, for penance in confession when you're in there. Anyway, and I became a rock musician. I played on the streets as a kid. You had street musicians, you know, and I played in strip joints. Now, this is 10, 11 years old, because you pay people money, the cops look the other way. That's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I was raised on the streets in New Orleans. Mom and them had a place on Canal Street, so I would sneak out the house. And I go down there and play, and I never forget when they threw me a $20 bill. Now, Rebecca, in 1959, 20 bucks was a lot of money. And I thought, I'm going to do this for a living, you know. But the problem that comes with that kind of stuff is all the drugs, all the sin, all the booze, all, every immoral thing that you can think of, because I did not know Jesus. But I never thought of Jesus as a person. Mm-hmm. I thought of God as an institution. You know, the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Yeah. Then I realized something about Jesus, and I want everybody to hear this statement. He's not religious. You see, he's a person. And you can meet him today, and to understand who he really is. This is not about being churchy. This is about relationship. I went from religion to relationship to fellowship. I want this. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. I kind of like that. I like calling you Rebecca. I could call you Sister Rebecca. Most Holy Rebecca. I just call you Rebecca. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Because yeah. That's your name. So that's what I'm saying. That's kind of my background. Then I got born again in 1974 in Boston, Massachusetts. I was doing a rock show, and my wife comes up to me. I was about ready to go down to do the show, and Kathy says, Jesse, Billy Graham's on television. I said, what's that got to do with me? Now, I'm telling you, you talk about a chief of sinners. I was raised with the La Cosa Nostra. That's the mafia on the streets of New Orleans.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, I can't say stuff on this podcast because, I'd get in trouble, you know, on some certain things. You know, the statute of limitations hadn't run out. But when I got born again, it was one of the most amazing things ever happened to me in my life. But it wasn't religious. See, religion is very impersonal. Christ is very personal. When I got born again, it was personal. It was me and him. And he changed my life. You see, now you don't hear people talk about like that, especially people my age. You mean church? No, I'm talking about, hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. I mean, I can talk to you, Rebecca, on the phone. It's nice. But when I talk to you in person, it's much better. Mm-hmm. See, because I can see you and you can see me. Mm-hmm. So I would tell everybody today, the younger people, if you want to be a success going somewhere to succeed, if you want what you never thought you could achieve, if you'll put Jesus first in your life, all that will come. lock, stock, and barrel, and more than you can think.
That's so good. So here you are, you're a musician. Mm-hmm. You get saved. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Well, I was going to stay in the music business, I thought. But Rebecca, I never seen sin in my life. I never thought of sin.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought of fun, party, just go, you know. I mean, I took trips on drugs. I took trips and never left my house. Just crazy. But when I got born again and when I saw sin, I said, I can't do this no more.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't like the people. It had nothing to do with that. I was changed. I still love music. I can play 11 instruments. I can do all that kind of stuff, you know. And in fact, I did that one time at a... at a gospel convention, there were 13, 14, and 17, the age group. And they said, but could you play some rock? I said, okay, I'm going to do this one time. And I said, give me that guitar. And man, I did a whole lot of love. ZZ Top. And I mean, and them kids going, good God, look at this guy. I said, but I did not know they had me hooked up into the founder's hotel room. And when I got to the convention that night, he said, whoo. I said, oh, did I do something wrong? He said, no, I didn't realize you could do that. But it made the teenager say, this man's real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let me tell you something about music. It's all good. It's just that Satan perverts it.
Yeah.
Or makes it bad. I mean, thinking about having an acting career, that'd probably be a lot of fun to be somebody that you could imitate. But then people pervert it. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? And that's the problem. You know, but my God, you can have more fun knowing Jesus Christ than you'll ever know in anything else you do. Well, I'm telling you something about Jesus. But all this stuff, he'll even, now I'm going to say something going to make somebody mad. He'll even protect you from the church. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is not as hard on people as people are on people.
That's so true.
And some of the meanest people I ever met in my life are church people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I wouldn't have to say that, but it's true. Why? Why can't we get along? You know, people say, you love everybody. Yeah, I've even had been criticized. You got so much mercy. Oh, you want me to go out and kill somebody? Is that what you want me to do? You know, you don't see color. No, I don't see no color, nationality, or creed. I don't care. You're a human being. That's all I'm satisfied with. It don't make no difference to me. I don't think of color in any way, shape, or form. And just because you got money, you're not better than somebody that doesn't. You know, they got a lot of people have this kind of a attitude. Let me bless you with my presence. Well, you could have stayed home, fool. I don't need your presence. You know what I'm trying to say? I just want to be me. You know that song, I Gotta Be Me. You know, I just want to be me. And you know what? That's what God wants. He just wants you to be you. I wish the church would be like God is. But sad to say they're not.
Yeah.
But they're going to get there. I'm not anti-church. You just keep pushing and it'll happen and it'll come to pass.
Well, it's an attack of the enemy and we just got to stop wasting our time.
Amen.
Being backseat drivers and just wasting our time criticizing people.
Right.
We need to be, if you don't like someone, why don't you just pray for that person?
That makes sense to me.
You do a lot more help there than speaking death over someone.
You know, when my mother told me she's in heaven, I used to say, that church is full of hypocrites. You know what my mama said? Well, you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. And I thought, I ain't saying that no more.
Yeah.
You know, just that true. Yeah. I mean, we waste so much good time criticizing and trying to hurt someone when we could be touching somebody and lifting somebody up. It's not that hard. It's actually very simple. That's why children ran toward Jesus. That made the disciples a little mad. Get these stinking kids out of here. He said, permit the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. You don't know Jesus, you meet him, you're going to like him a lot. And he's going to love you a lot. And that's the truth.
See, that's what I love about you is you always bring it back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's all about your personal relationship with him. And you just show someone you don't got to be religious. You don't be religious. Don't be it at all.
Right.
Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. Be close to him.
Yeah.
And see where he'll take you.
That's it. It's so simple. We're on a journey. We do have a destination and a destiny. That's a fact. But we should be enjoying the journey.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of Christians, that they're not enjoying the journey. Well, maybe, Rebecca, they're not saved. They may be religiously brainwashed, but they don't know the Lord. Some people know about God, but they don't know God. Mm-hmm. You see, I have met you. I have spent time with you and your husband. We've done things in the past. That's how I know you. Mm-hmm. But some people say, I know Jesse Brent. No, you don't. You know about me.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to dinner with me or you do an interview with me or you come to one of my meetings, then you begin to know me. It's mm-hmm. called fellowship. Remember I said, I went from religion to relationship to fellowship. I want a God I can talk to. Just that simple. Now, you know, we call this a podcast. We're doing this today. You know, we're going to be doing this for eternity because there's multiple universes out there. What are we going to do, man? This is going to be great. So you learn this technique, not just for this lifetime. You're going to be doing this. Who knows who you're going to be talking to? Think about that.
Oh.
We have so much to look forward to.
I was thinking about that last night, and I was like, why do we get so caught up with the small things of this life when there's a whole glorious life ahead of us? And I think it really, that's also an attack of the enemy, that we get bogged down and focused on stuff that we shouldn't be worried about. We just need to be trusting God, and we need to be looking towards Him in the future, longing for His appearing.
That's right.
This life is just to prepare for His coming back.
Well, you know, as I get older, I finally understand the scripture, life is but a vapor. Mm-hmm. It really, I mean, it seemed like 10 years ago I was 18. Well, that's not true. But I mean, it seemed like it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm healthy, so I still can do what I want to do. But I've learned something about that worry and faith are incompatible. You see, it's like an oxymoron. You know, it just doesn't work. You see, so I decided His will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven, or in earth as in heaven. So why can't I live here like as if I'd be living in heaven? Well, let me tell you how you do that. You don't sweat the small stuff, you know, because God's going to take you places you never thought, not only here in this life, but in the life to come. And it just works. Not some of the time, but all the time.
See, I'm just receiving that because I feel like I'm just starting to really learn that. To really trust God.
Yeah.
I've spent way too much of my time worrying about stupid stuff. Just being honest, and it will suck all the joy right out of your life.
Oh, yeah. No, know something about your children. I ain't worried about nothing. Mm-mm. Mama and Daddy are going to take care of that, right? Well, do you know what? We're God's children. We're not God's adults.
Yeah.
We're God's children. Now, we grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, but we're still God's children. My daughter's 51 years old, but she's still my little girl. Do you see my point? Mm-hmm. So I thought, my God, age don't have anything to do with this. You see, so I just let my light shine. And and God is a father and His family. If you want to understand God, do a research on family, what it means to be a family. And it's just such a blessing.
Well, I want to talk about heaven, but I also want to talk about the mafia.
Okay.
Two very different directions.
Oh, yeah, night and day.
But you told me this really cool story about you were preaching, I don't know where you were at. I want to say Pittsburgh. I could be completely wrong. And they tried to shut you down.
Oh, I've had a lot of churches try to shut me down.
And the mafia actually helped you.
Yes. What happened was...
Okay, so just you start from the beginning.
I'll say
you
that.
Get the context.
Me and Jerry Savelle, we used to do what we call Catch the Spirit of Revival meetings. You see? So we went to Philadelphia. Okay. Well, when you go to Philadelphia and you go to New York, the unions are very strong. And a lot of the unions are controlled by the mafia, and some of them. Maybe not as much today, but this is many, many years ago. All right. Well... by my association, you know, and I have a lot of great friends that tell me, I die with you. You understand? Because you understand the lifestyle. You see, I was raised that way. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anyway, we go to Philadelphia and we were late. There was already 2,000 people standing in line to get into this big Philadelphia Convention Center. So what we did, to make a long story short, what we did was we walked up. If we could have set up the equipment, we could set it up a lot quicker than the union people, because our people would have to tell the union what to do, you know. So we got on the stage and we asked the man, we were very polite, if you don't mind, could we set up the equipment? We'll pay you, like as if you were setting it up, you know, your prices, whatever. And he says, shut the up and all this kind of stuff. Nobody, get off the stage. There's a union here. You understand me? You don't, you know, and I thought, Jerry looks at me and said, man, we're going to be late because it takes a while to set up this equipment, you know, lights and video and audio and you name it, man. And I'm thinking, oh, God. Now, I have a number that was given to me a long time ago. If you ever have a problem, you call this number. We take care of everything. You understand? It ain't personal. It's just business. Okay. Well, now I'm saved. And I have a lot of mafia friends. People say, why?
Yeah.
Well, they need Jesus just as much as anybody else. He said, go to all the world, didn't he? Did he say something? Did he? All the world. So I know them, and I've eaten dinner, and I eat in restaurants when I go to Little Italy and all the different things. Anyway, and I thought, and Jerry said, man, Jerry didn't know this was going on. Jerry didn't know I had that number, you know. It's so funny. And I let it slip out to Jerry by accident. And anyway, I was just talking. He said, man, what are we going to do, Jesse? I mean, people are lining up. And my God, we're going to be late and everything like that. And I heard this. Use the number. Well, I thought, the number. So I said, Jerry, I'll be back in just a moment. This was before cell phones. You know, cell phones then were that big, you know. You know, you had to get to a phone booth. So I called a friend. And I said, hey, how you doing? What can we do? I said, I'm in Philadelphia here. He said, what do you need? Just like that, what do you need? And I said, man, I'm in Philadelphia. The union won't let us get on the stage. And I said, we don't mind paying them the full dues, whatever it takes, so we can get it done real quick. I said, this guy told us to get on. He said, what's his name? I said, his name is Frank. He said, stay there. I'll call you back in 5 minutes. I hung up the phone. I stayed. You know, you listen to when these people talk, you know? Yeah. Sometimes, and it wasn't 3 minutes. Frank, the guy that cussed us and told us, come, he says, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect you. What can we do? What can we do? And they made a phone call, see? And everything. Oh, what can we do? I said, well, Frank, I don't want to get nobody in trouble. If you let us, we will pay you double time. Oh, no, we're not going to charge you. Just do what you got to do. So we set it all up. Jerry comes running in there, and he goes, my God, man, the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I went, yeah. That's a true story, you know. And when Jerry finally went, you got to be kidding me. I said, well, you know, God uses things you never thought he would use. And, you know, that night, I think maybe 130 people got born again.
Yeah.
But that would have shut down mm-hmm. if we couldn't have been able to do what we had to do. Now, I'm not telling people to go out and use the mafia. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying was...
You're not endorsing the mafia.
No, I'm not endorsing any of that. But you know what? I'm going to let my light so shine. And I'll tell everybody out there, you know better than anybody else. You see, so the best thing to do is let your light shine. So I do. Now, sometimes, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Y'all know I've been attacked ferociously. I've been persecuted. I mean, they started when I was the number one story in the world four years ago.
That.
Oh, they wanted to kill me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the front page in Kazakhstan. I don't even know where that country is, you know? And I had my La Cosa Nostra friends call me and said, and I love this. I shouldn't have promised to say that. He said, do you want us to take care of this? And I wanted to say, yeah, take care of this, you know. But I went, no. I said, no, the Lord will take care of it. And I thought it'd be a lot quicker if they did, you know. Mm-hmm. And no, but that's wrong, see. You got to understand, that's terrorism. That's what that is. You see, I mean, you know, when somebody will blow your head off in a second. And to them, it ain't personal, it's just business. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when I got born again, or when I speak to the mob about Jesus, do you? I talk their language. I tell him, I said, you need to meet the boss of the bosses, the copy to do to the copy. You know, so you can be a made man. Made man. That's a big thing in the mafia. Yeah, I've been made the righteousness of God. You understand? And they go, oh, yeah, man. You know, man, they said, you mean you got juice? I said, yeah, we got juice. You see, and it just works that way. You have to talk their lingo. And I've had a lot of them get born again.
Praise God.
Isn't that a miracle of Jesus?
That is.
God will save people if they'll reach out to him, you know. That's one part of it, you know.
If you're willing to be used that way and you throw off your religious appearances, how did you handle everyone in the world attacking you? Because a lot of people would have tucked their tails and ran.
Well, my daughter said that. She said, Daddy, you're the strongest man I've ever met in my life. And I asked the Lord, I said, how do you want me to handle this? And he said this, you'll kill it with joy. Mm. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm known as the Apostle of Joy. Who tagged me with that was John Hagee, 25, 30 years ago, something like that. And I said, I'll kill it with joy.
I love that, though. I feel like a lesson I'm having to learn right now is to surrender what people think about you and don't even try to control it. No. Because if you're serving the Lord, they're going to hate you. I mean, Jesus says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Well, no one's going to judge you, Rebecca. You will stand before God. And all those people that have criticized you will not be there to say this and say that. And you know what God's going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like that.
You know? I do too.
So I wish they wouldn't believe that. I mean, I like being liked.
Me too.
You know, Jody told me that before I left not long ago. Daddy, people love you so much. I said, I'm lovable. I'm lovable. You know, I don't mean that pridefully. I just am. You know, I mean, if you'd have seen me before, save, I wouldn't have loved you.
Yeah.
You think I'd care? I don't care if you died. That's how, when you have a hole in you so deep that nobody can fill up other than Jesus Christ, it's amazing what you're capable of doing. And that's the problem with Satan. He's got this big hole, and he's destroying himself. You know, I don't feel sorry for him because he doesn't care. But I made up my mind, I don't have time to focus on that stuff. Mm-mm. I have to focus on Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Just that simple.
And I wish more ministers, if you're listening to this, minister or not, believer, whatever, whoever you are, I just want them to receive that word. Because if the enemy can intimidate you and make you care about what people think, you're going to stop. Yeah. You're not going to do what God calls you to do. But if you can let that go and just allow God's view of you to be all that matters, you'll go exactly where he wants you to go.
Well, how many times Daystar has been rawly ripped?
Oh, I know. I grew up under it.
I mean, it's just part. I mean, Marcus, before he went home, he would call me sometime. He'd say, boy, they're coming at me, you know? And I said, well, that means evidently you've done something right.
Yeah.
Now, this is just so wonderful. And I said this, and Joni loved it. Let me tell everybody today, do you know that God can't remember your sin? You can. I can remember things God can't. He didn't cover my sin, Rebecca. He washed it away. It never existed. He expunged my record. It doesn't exist. Now, I may be able to remember that, but God can't. So you comfort yourself with those words. When you ask Christ to come in your life and repent, that's why I believe in repentance, because your whole record gets expunged. It never happened. And that's a wonderful thing. So do it and you'll be blessed by it.
That's the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, last thing.
Okay.
Tell us about your heaven experience, because you know, I know what the internet wants to hear, and people are hungry. I have a holy jealousy. I keep asking God to beam me up. It has not happened. I don't know if it ever will, but it happened to you.
It happened to me in 1988 in Magnolia, Arkansas, at the Best Western Hotel at room 105 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I can remember it like it was yesterday. People said, you had a vision. No, I didn't have a vision. I had a trip. Now, I don't know how I got through that ceiling. I heard the wind. And the first thing I thought in my mind was, a tornado outside or something like that. You know, you think, I got sucked out that room and traveling at a phenomenal rate of speed. Some people say, I don't believe that. I don't mean this to be arrogant. I don't care. Don't believe it. It's still true. And the Lord said I had an angel pick me up that I had talked to years before. And he said, you have an appointment with the Most High God. And to see heaven is one of the most amazing places. It's hard to talk about it in English. I could pray it in the Holy Ghost. You see, and you know, I'm very, very careful about that. I don't know how many programs, my wife's in here, have asked me to come talk about this, and I refuse. I refuse, because it's holy to me. And I wrote a book called Close Encounters of the God Kind, and I included the heaven thing. And I spoke it at John Osteen's church, 1993, 94. I was skinny and I had brown hair. It was nice. You know? And I went, and the angel brought me around. I met Jesus Christ, put his hand on my shoulder. If you want to know what he looks like, he's between 5'11 and 6'1". I thought his hair was my color. See how white my hair is, if you can see? But when he turned his head like this, his hair was light brown. And he brought me to heaven. And he gave me a message. And I argued with him over the message. He said, go tell my people I'm coming. I said, you got the wrong man. You need Billy Graham. This was 1988. Not too many people knew who I was. Mm. Today, that's a whole nother ball game. See? I said, you got the wrong man here. And I said, Lord, they know you're coming. And he got real stern with me. He went, no, they don't. Now, Rebecca, think about this right now while we're doing this podcast. How many people are not thinking about God?
I would say the majority.
That's correct. You see, so he needs a voice.
Yeah.
He needs, that's why you do these things. He needs a voice. See, and I met the Apostle Paul. I talked to Jonah. I saw Moses from afar off. I got to meet Abraham. Boy, he's a nice guy. He's thick, barrel-chested, big guy. Boy, I mean, I met the patriarch, but no, I saw Moses, but I didn't talk to him from afar off. And I love my conversation with the Apostle Paul. Now, the Lord took me to my house, Jesus Christ himself. I have a beautiful home in the natural here, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But man, it's a shack compared to what God's built for me. And he said, I made a table for you. Rebecca, I love a foyer of a house. Mm-hmm. To me, it sets the tone of the house. And Jesus is a carpenter for a reason. He builds things. He don't just got a job, see what I'm saying? And he built a beautiful table that he put golden angels on it, on the corners of it. I could see it like I'm seeing you. He said, I thought you might like this. I thought, my God, do I love this? This is great. But what was greater than anything was to actually be standing there and talking to God Almighty. And all these people in the Bible, I wasn't interested in gold streets, which I saw, beautiful. Diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby, pearly gates. You ought to see that book of life. That thing's big. You ought to see that. That thing is beautiful. What I was interested in was people.
Yeah.
I wanted to know these people. You've never seen the color red till you see it in heaven. And I'll give you an analogy of this. Before we had the Hubble telescope or the James Webb telescope, we had to look through the atmosphere. So that dulled all the senses. Once we got the Hubble telescope up there and the James Webb, now all the blurring is gone. And when the Hubble telescope, especially the James Webb one, when it's, they go, Jesus, look at that. Because you see, on the earth is the stain of sin.
Yeah.
See, now when you get to heaven, that's why he said that he's going to destroy this earth. He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth because there will be no stain on it. You can have the prettiest suit or the prettiest dress in the world, but if you got a small stain, people are going to notice the stain before they notice the dress. Well, red, blues, like purples, it's the most amazing thing. But the thing was to see Jesus, his clothes looked like diamonds. But then I realized what it was his anointing was flowing through the clothes.
Oh, wow.
And sparkling, just wow. And I thought, my God. And the kids come running up to him. And he just loved them.
Oh.
And that angel that brought me in, he knelt down. I knelt down too. He's the King of Kings. I got to meet King David. He's the only other person besides Jesus that I saw with a crown on. He is the King of Israel.
Oh, wow.
That's a fact. And he was a nice guy. And he said, I heard you was a musician. I said, yes. He said, I was a musician. I wrote songs. I said, yeah, I've read some of your songs. We're just having this discussion like it's nothing. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? It's just that normal. It's just that normal. And it was most, and it's pavilions with people, kids singing, great. And he hasn't lost paradise. I met a couple, and I'm very sure I'm talking about this, with their family. They were killed in a car accident. Now, all of them. And as I was going toward the throne, walking with that angel, I got to meet them. They said, we're going on a picnic. Would you like to go? And I went, yeah. Why not? You know? And the angel took me by my arm and said, you have an appointment with the Most High God. I said, when I come back, we'll go on that picnic. And they said, okay. Now, all desires are given to you. You can't say something to heaven. They act on it. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, glory to God? You know? But when you say, glory to God, the angel lifts his hand. Glory to God. See, to them, that's a command. You can't say, I mean, hallelujah. They're going to go, hallelujah. I mean, to us, it's just the word that you're filling in the language. Not that. That is a thing that you do.
Wow.
it was one of the most amazing things to be able to do it. So I tell people, you just got to go. And it's a wonderful place. And I tell all people to help you on why sometimes some people don't get healed. They believe in a God for healing to the very last thing. Because once they see Jesus, they ain't coming back to Dallas. They ain't coming back to Orlando. They ain't coming back to New Orleans. But they're on the other side. They are staying there. It's one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me. But I have to say this. It didn't increase my faith. Faith don't come that way. See, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What it increased in my life was my longing for Jesus to come. Mm. Now, I'm going to say something maybe I shouldn't say, but I got to be honest. I was praying not too long ago. I said, come on, Jesus. Now, he don't even, you know, Jesus doesn't know when he's coming.
I know.
Only, do you know why?
Only
the Heavenly Father knows why. Because if Jesus knew, he'd tell us. He'd say, Becky, Thursday, 2:00. Okay, we got it. You know, but only the Father knows that. And it's just the most amazing thing when he's going to release Christ. He wants to see us more than we want to see him.
Oh.
I mean, that's amazing. And this is going to be for eternity. There will be no more separations ever. And for the first time in a long time, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and us will be all together as one. Angels are wonderful, but they're servants. Becky is family. She's a daughter. We're sons, daughters. You're in the family. Do you see what I'm saying? You belong to the family. And that's what I'm talking about. And when you understand that, that's one of the most amazing things in the world. And that's why when angels are, they just love you, they're more interested in you than you are in them. Because when God said, let us make man, they said, what's a man? And then God said, let's make him in our image and give them dominion over all the works of our hand. Are angels the works of God's hand? Yeah. You got dominion over that. I mean, that's amazing to me. And we're the only ones that can sit down in the presence of God. Michael the archangel cannot. Gabriel cannot. The seraphims, the cherubims, the archangels, they cannot. But you, Becky, can sit down at the throne. He made you sit. Because you know why? You're family. Mm. You're la familia. He made us an offer we couldn't refuse. It's just that simple. You see? And that's how I tell people about Christ. And it's the most wonderful thing in the world. This is not religion, ladies and gentlemen. Religion is a garden of weeds. Yeah. That's a theological wilderness there, buddy. Mm-hmm. This is person. Jesus is not a religion. He's a person. See? And why did he come? To save you? No, he did that while he was here. That you might know the Father. That's what he says. Why was he so successful? Because he was Jesus? No. Because he said this, I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father says to do. Well, you can criticize me all you want. I'm only going to say what the Father says, and I'm only going to do what the Father says to do.
You want his return more than anything. You don't want to set up shop here. You're not carnal.
No.
There's a difference.
I can't wait till I get to heaven.
Me too.
Because, and the reason why, you know what's the first thing I'm going to say? What's my assignment?
Oh, wow.
We're not going to be laying on the ground and angels dropping grapes in our mouth. See, some people kind of think that's... The best way I can describe heaven in terms of what's going on, it's like an economy. It's a place of work. It's bustling. I mean, God is still creating. Right now, the universe is expanding faster than the speed of light. You know why? That's God creating. He's a creator.
I can't even really fathom that.
It's beyond human comprehension. You see what I'm saying? See, you can get so smart that you get dumb.
That's true.
You see, and I've seen that with scientists. I've talked to some very brilliant people. Well, I don't believe in God. I said, well, that don't change it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I mean, you got to give me fact. I said, faith is actually stronger than fact.
Oh, wow.
It really is. One of the greatest way, one of the most blessed states to live in is to live by faith on things you can't see. Because it will bring forth stuff that you can see. I mean, if you think about 50 years ago, because you're not that old. I mean, what we're doing today, if we were to tell that happened 50 years ago, you done lost your mind. You can carry the world around in your cell phone.
Yeah.
Think about that. You got the whole Library of Congress in a cell phone. Whoever thought that a phone could take a better picture than the cameras when we used to have to go to the photographers way back when? It's amazing how we can talk to the world, the internet. Think about that, man. Social media. I mean, 20 years ago, you didn't hear that.
Mm-mm.
That's amazing to me. And see, so, but when we get to having this technology, it's going to be amazing. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm yours to command. Command ye me, and I'll do it. It's coming, and it's coming sooner than we think.
Yeah. What I want you to talk about the throne room.
The throne has, it's a room, but it's so big, it's 1,500 miles high. When the angels were flying around it, that's the seraphims, you know, archangels, and they say, go holy, 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 the great God Jehovah. And what happens is, you know why they say that? And Jerry Savelle loves this. He said, I love when you say that, because every time they make that circle, now they've been doing this for trillions, quadrillions, years, just beyond human reason. Every time they make that circle, they look down. They see a side of God they've never seen. And it explodes in such magic. Holy, holy, holy. They're still doing that. That throne is something. Everyone in heaven, you got paradise, the New Jerusalem, and the throne. Everyone wants to get to that throne. You got to pass through the fragrance of God. I kept going, what's that wonderful smell? Good God. And that angel said, that's the fragrance of God. It permeates everything. And the only time I've ever smelled it on the earth is when I get into a real deep Holy Ghost time. All of a sudden I go, my God, that smell. And I wish I could explain it to you. I'm going to tell you how God keeps secrets. I want everybody to listen here. You in the podcast, listen. Okay. What is this? This is a cup. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. C-U-P, cup, right? Okay. If there was no such word in the English language or any language to describe this, to say what is this? You'd go, you know what it is, but you can't speak it. I got so irritated when I read the book of Daniel and God said, seal up the sum. No, no, don't do that. So he put it to where he took all language out to describe this. And that's how God keeps secrets. Then all of a sudden, one day you look at it, you have no idea. You know what it is, but you can't say because there's no such word. And God will reveal to you, cup. Oh, this is a cup. And he'll give you another word to it, mug. You know, what do you want? You know, Kathy likes to drink out of a fine, thin, nice cup and salsa. Now, she likes that. But when she wants to have a morning coffee, she wants a cup. Why? Because there's a lot more coffee in a mug and a cup than in a beautiful, fine piece of china. You see what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So that's how God keeps secrets. There's no language. I learned that in heaven. I said, that's how you do that. Yeah, he said, if I take the words out, you can't say what it is.
Because we're not supposed to know yet.
Not the time. It's not yet. There's some things your boys are not going to know till later.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a sit down. There's going to be something. You and your husband will get together. There's going to be some things you're going to have to tell them, a few things. Yeah. They may not know that now.
Well, okay, there's a lot they don't know.
A lot they don't know. But one day they're going to have to know. Mm-hmm. See, right now, if you explain that, they ain't got no idea what you're talking about. Mm-mm. Over your head. Well, it's the same way. They're not able to receive it.
Yeah.
That's one thing I love about God. He doesn't waste words. Words are containers. They're vessels. They carry your future. They carry your destiny and your destination. But the day will come when Rebecca will say, sit down, boy. I want to tell you something. And you'll begin to reveal something, and they'll go, oh, my. Wow. And you'll see the light go on in them. Yet you could have told them all those years ago, but it would have been a waste of words.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? That's my point. It would have been a complete waste of words. But when you're going to have those discussions, you and your husband, and you may have a discussion with them after they got married and have their children, and you'll tell them, listen to your mama. Let me tell you about this. Oh, mama, I never thought about that. See, so we ever learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about the Lord. Never boring. Always something new. Always something to learn, but not in a hard way. In this kind of way. Wow, man. Thank you for telling me that. I didn't know that existed. And it's coming.
So God the Father's on the throne.
Yes.
Could you see him? Probably.
Oh, yeah, I saw him and I saw Jesus. What happened, I couldn't stand up. I just hit the ground.
Yeah.
And this angel gave me a piece of fruit about the size of an apricot, about this big. He said, eat this so you can withstand the glory of God. And that's why I knew I was in my body. If I was in my spirit, I could stand. I bit the dust, man. I had to fall down, man. You just can't. And I ate that, and it was very juicy. I could feel strength coming back. And I saw the Father God, and it sounded like this. I don't mean this to mess up this microphone. Boy, like if he just moved, annihilation, everything. And I saw look at my finger if you can get a shot of this. And he did this. Knocked one of them big angels. They're about 30 feet tall, them seraphims. They're huge. Bam! Hit the wall. If God, the Father, moves, annihilation, power. Now, out of that smoke, out of that power, comes Jesus in human form. That you can hug him.
Oh, my goodness.
See, God is spirit. See what I'm saying? So you can hug him. You can touch him. And he came out and he started preaching to this seemed like millions and millions of people. How they fit, I don't know. I'm going to get your brothers. I'm going to get your sister. And I thought, he's not a teacher. He's a preacher. And I thought about R.W. Shambach. I said, my God, he preached like Shambach, just screaming. But I noticed he couldn't stay away from the Father very long. He would be preaching. And he stopped me trying to do this. Because they can't stay apart long anymore. So he walks back into that smoke. They're three, but yet they're one. That's hard to understand.
Yeah.
I am three, yet I'm one. I have a spirit housing a soul clothing the body. He goes back into that smoke. So he loses that human form that you can hold. And he's God Almighty. See? And that's when I asked I was telling your mama, I think it was on Table Talk or something like that. One of the dumbest and stupidest questions I've asked. I'm laying on the floor, just about knocked out, and I could see the Father. I know that image. I could see the Son. And I asked this. I talked to the angel. I said, where's the Holy Spirit? And he said, he's on the earth. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that. I know that. I feel so stupid. You know what I'm saying? But one day, see, right now, God is not complete because the Holy Spirit's here.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, he will be complete, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord corrected me. This was several years ago. He said, I'm not complete when I'm God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm complete when it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and mankind. Because you made in my image.
Oh, wow.
And where does Christ live? Christ in you.
Hope of glory.
Yeah, yeah. That's why he's so accessible. You know what I mean? You just right there. You just got him, you know what I'm saying? So he's not complete. That's why we can sit down in his presence. I don't doubt if your three-year-old, three-and-a-half-year-old comes and he sees mama, he don't care if we're doing a show. He come running towards you, right? He has a right.
Yeah.
Your mama. You see what I'm saying? You may try to catch him before he gets it. But then if he gets too close, you're going to pick him up, see, you know, and say, mama's doing something. Or daddy's doing something. You know what I'm saying? So y'all are not really, you and your husband are not complete unless you got all your children. Because you're made from each other. Well, we've been made by God. Now you think about that. That's a wonderful thing. So why would you hate anybody of any color, nationality, or creed when God made them? Well, if he loves people, I love people. I don't see no color, nationality, or creed. I don't care about any of that. I just love people. Why? Because they're people. It's just that simple. And that's what God is, a father and his family. Just that simple. Don't complicate that if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Don't complicate it. It's so simple. I've said this, I believe, in all the other shows I've ever said. Children are born believers until you teach them the doubt. They know nothing of doubt.
No, they don't.
Until you teach them. So don't. I can stop prejudice today. Everybody listen to me. Shut it down today. You ready? Listen to me. Don't tell your children they're white. Don't tell them they're black. Don't tell them they're brown. Don't tell them they're yellow. Don't tell them they're red. Don't say any of that. They're people. You see, they won't know. You want me to prove it to you? Go to the nurseries. You see these children playing, and some are black, some are brown, you know, some are red. They don't know nothing about that. They're friends. Mm-hmm. That's how easy that is. Everyone needs to lose their color, but not their culture. Your color don't make you who you are. It's your culture that makes you who you are. That's why I just love people. So I don't see no difference. It don't make no difference to me because I learned that from God. That's what God does. Well, why did he do it that way? Okay, you want to know why there's different colors of people on the earth? I got this in the conversation with God. There's five colors of dirt on the earth. There's black dirt, brown dirt, red dirt, yellow dirt, and white dirt. What did he make man out of? Dirt. Why are we mad? We're fighting over dirt. It's dirt. See what I'm saying? We just a sack of mud. And God broke ground when he made Adam. Dirt. That's why you got the different colors. Why do you like red? Why do you like blue? Why don't you wear the same color all the time? Because you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Now, I'm going to make somebody real mad. Let's mix the colors. Oh, now we just can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. You know, that's how you got purple. Mm-hmm. Somebody mixed the color.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with purple?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's my point. There's nothing. We're the human race, man. And this could be all shut down so easily. And the success of it is God. So yeah. When we all get to heaven, anybody going to live in anybody's neighborhood without any problem.
Amen.
See, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't.
I'm looking forward to that. Because I love all people, too. I hate all this fighting.
I can't stand it.
I can't either.
I like those children when we go to our church. They come right out the nurse. They go, Brother Jesse. And some are black, some are brown. And they just grab me by the leg, make me feel so good. They don't say, you know what they see? They don't say, Brother Jesse, white. They don't say that. You know what they say, Brother Jesse? I got to tell you something funny. And then I guess I got to get out of here. I preach so much.
Kathy, it's so good, though.
Kathy is the senior pastor of Covenant Church. Now, some of y'all will get mad about that. I don't believe women are the preacher. You need to come to New Orleans. I'm going to show you some manifestation. Them women can flat preach. Well, watch this. They were in a youth meeting, and Kathy had a youth speaker. And there's some kids. We have a girl named Stephanie. Her grandchildren go to a Catholic school. A lot of most kids go to Catholic schools in South Louisiana. I mean, it's just a bunch of schools. Anyway, his name is Jackson. Okay. Well, the speaker was talking about sin. Now, y'all shouldn't be sinning. And then he says this. Even Pastor Kathy sins. And Jackson, I forgot how old he was. He probably 6 or 7, something like that. He says, Pastor Kathy doesn't sin. That's Father Jesse's wife. He calls me Father Jesse because he goes to a Catholic school. And I thought, that's right. Okay. So he'll say, Father Jesse. I said, bless you, my son. And to me, that's okay because I am a father.
Yeah.
I'm his father right then and there. We went to a grandparents one time thing at a school. And for Meredith, I made up my mind. What do they call it? Grandparents Day, Kathy, I think it was. Oh, and I just love all that stuff. I didn't do that when Jody, but Jody understood because I was traveling so much. And I said, I'm not doing that anymore. So anyway, Jody had a friend and his grandfather couldn't be there. And I could see he was disappointed.
Yeah.
You can tell. You know, children want you to be there. They notice. So when we got in the room, the teacher said, this is Meredith's grandfather. Jesse Brown. I said, hello, I'm Meredith's grandfather. And I can't think of the name of the boy, whatever his name was. She said, where's your grandfather? And I could tell. And I said, I'm his grandfather today. And he just looked at me like that. I said, and I'm a good grandfather. And Meredith goes, yes, he is. Yeah. And it made him feel so good. I was only a grandfather for a few minutes from him, but I took the sadness away. Because I thought it was important that everybody knows he got somebody there that loved him. Now, I'm not criticizing his grandfather. Maybe something happened. Who knows? I don't know about that. But you see, the Gentiles, we didn't have a grandfather. The Jews did. Mm-hmm. And we showed up. And God said, who's your grandfather? And Jesus jumped in and said, Father, I'm their grandfather today. You see my point? You understand what I'm trying to get to? That's what God does. So none of you are ever alone. Am I talking too much? I'm sorry.
No, I love it. There's only two more things I want to ask you to do. One, I want you to talk about the in the throne room, the spirits or whatever flying around the
throne.
Those
are the seraphims and the archangels. Yeah.
No, no, no. The ones that said, make me, either said, make
me. Oh, you're talking about the babies.
The babies. Okay, I want you to talk about that.
When I saw God, I wasn't expecting to see this. When God thinks, he thinks children. That's it. A father and his family, they think children. Children is the greatest miracle that could ever happen. Watch this. They look at me, and I don't know if you can see this. They seem to be about this big. They had like, and they're going to get mad. Some people are going to, you know, try to criticize. They had the ability to fly. And they would get in the breath of God. And I could hear their voices said, would you make me a spirit? See, they're little souls, the mind, the will, and the emotion. That's a soul. That's God's thoughts. Will you make me a spirit? Would you make me a spirit? And God would do this. And every time God breathed, life comes into existence. And they went out as a thought of God, as a soul, implanted in the womb of a wife and became a living spirit. He don't lose no babies. Even the abortions or the miscarriages. All that. Now watch this. When someone dies, God, look at me, if you can see it, and watching it, is this close to that person's mouth? And they do this, their last breath. And God receives that life back into himself. When Jesus, you see in St. John, he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed upon them. Boom! That's when salvation took off. Watch this. Adam is like a piece of dirt. And God breathed in his nostrils. Not in his mouth, guys. That would have been CPR. He wasn't trying to get him to breathe. He breathed spirit life in him. Think about that. The first person God, Adam ever saw was God Almighty, face to face. That's how babies come. How God sent. That's why he said, I knew you before the womb. Because they up there saying, listen, I want to be a spirit. They're little. And you know, kids will tell you they want a cookie and they're going to drive you crazy until they get it. Okay, boy, take the whole box, you know, whatever, you know. I want to be a spirit. And you know why everybody wants to be spirits? Because God is spirit. Everybody wants to be like God. God is spirit. Think about that. And when I saw that, that was one of the most amazing things. So I don't like abortion and miscarriages. But God, let me tell you, if you had a miscarriage, you had an abortion, whatever, when you get to heaven, that baby will be there. You people say, oh, I only have two children, but I had two miscarriages. Actually, you got four.
Oh, wow.
Well, he ain't losing that. Uh-uh. You see, and then because of the time factors, you'll probably raise that kid. It's going to be wonderful. You got to go. That's all I tell people. You just got to go. That's what awaits us.
That's why I wanted you to share that, because I know there's so many women that either have aborted their children or they've had miscarriages and, you know, they mourn over that loss. Yeah.
Why is it a baby when you want it and a fetus when you don't? I had a woman eat my lunch not too long ago. She said, I guess you pro-life. I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I'm pro-choice. I said, I'm glad your mama wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because if she was, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. She didn't know what to say. You know, I saw a sign, me and Kathy saw a sign at a church, and it showed a baby that said, I'm not a choice. I'm a child. I'm not a choice. I'm a child.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not here to get political with you. Can I say this? It ain't none of my business to tell you what to do with your body, to control it. But when you have life that can't talk for itself, someone has to talk for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple. But when you become desensitized, you see, well, it's really not. It's just a mass of cells. No, that's spirit there. And that's what that's about. What's the other one you wanted me to talk about?
So the final thing is just you talking about how we're God's children just reminds me the value of people. Mm-hmm. And how important they are to the Lord. And I just want to, people who are watching or listening to this and they're feeling convicted in their heart, I just want to pray a salvation prayer for those who want to come in. And then we'll wrap up.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. Jesus is not a religion. He's a person. You can meet him today. You may think, well, I'm so bad. You don't realize how bad I am. You don't realize how good he is. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. It's very simple. It's not long. Don't say it by your head. Say it with your heart, because that's who you are. The real you is on the inside. You know it and I know it. A lot of times you can get hurt physically and that'll heal. But if you get hurt inside, sometimes that never heals, because that's the real you. So pray this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sin.
Forgive me of all my sin.
Wash it away.
Wash it away.
I accept you today.
I accept you today.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I repent.
I repent.
Of any sin I've done.
Of any sin I've done.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Today.
Today.
I am yours.
I am yours.
And you are mine.
And you are mine.
I pray this prayer.
I pray this prayer.
To the Father.
To the Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Welcome to the family. It's just that simple. What's going on there? What you feeling right there? Ooh, isn't that something? Yeah. See, it's not religion. You just met Jesus. Well, let me say this. If I don't get to meet you here, I'm going to meet you in your heaven. I'll meet you in heaven. I'll come to your house. I will invite myself. Praise God. We're going to have a wonderful time. Thank you for allowing me to do this today.
Thank you so much. And I just so appreciate you, everything that you guys are doing. And we honor you and we're so thankful for you. And I have with me two of your newest books.
Yeah.
I Never Learned to Doubt and The Hidden Help. Of course, there's a lot more than that. For people who are interested and want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
They can go to our website, jdm.org, if you'd like that. And there's all kind of different things. Of course, we own ABC, CBS, NBC. We own Daystar.
Hey.
Hey, glory to God. So if you're going to watch on television, watch us on Daystar. We own many different, you know, whatever. I mean, you can get us on YouTube and all the different social media outlets that we're all on, that stuff. And it's just such a blessing. And one day I'll be, I can't talk to everybody, but when I get to heaven and get that new body, think about that. Oh man, I'll be able to meet everyone because there is no time. There is no darkness. God is light. That's one thing I'll say, and then I'll close with this. I kept looking behind the angel that was carrying. He said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm not casting a shadow. Why am I not casting a shadow? You know what he said? God is light. There's no shadows here. God is light in whom there's no darkness, no shadow of turning. If you look in this studio, we see darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But them lights right there are keeping the darkness out. You cut them lights out, it gets dark in here.
Uh-huh.
But that little bit, look how much bigger the darkness is. But look how small the light is to keep it out. And all you got to do is meet the light of the world, and you just did. Now let him shine, and darkness will never be a part of your life again. I promise you, I wouldn't lie to you. It starts today, and it started today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jesse. I still have to call you Pastor Jesse. Everyone who's listening, those who pray that prayer, welcome to the family. And thank you so much for listening. And, you know, long for his appearing, because Jesus told Jesse himself he's coming back
he's
soon.
He's coming.
Thanks for listening today, guys. Bye for today.